Hi there, and welcome to Canine Conversations with Jo, the podcast for you and your dog. Each of my episodes will be filled with hints and tips for training your dog in a fun, friendly, and easy way. So don't forget to subscribe, and if you have any questions, then please do get in touch via my website, which is www.paws-itivity.co.uk. Today's episode is the live recording of my webinar on getting that reliable recall. If you want to watch the webinar, head on over to my YouTube channel. You can find it under the Paws group. Otherwise, continue listening because the information is still going to help you get that reliable recall.
Fabulous. So, let's get going. Welcome to my Reliable Recalls webinar. This is just a nice, quick and simple little guide for some simple exercises that you can do from today to start improving your dog's recall. So first of all, what is your recall? Well, it's relatively simple, but ultimately it's when our dog responds immediately to our call and returns from whatever it is they were doing. So that's ultimately what the recall is. But when you've not got a recall, you've not got a recall if your dog comes back after they've been playing with their friends. You've not got a recall if they're off doing something that they find much more interesting and they only come back when they feel like it. And of course, maybe they actually just not enjoy coming back. Maybe not coming back is all just part of their fun game. So there's lots of reasons why you may not have your recall at the moment. They could like to chase squirrels. There's all sorts of reasons, but all of these exercises will be here to help you no matter what is causing your recall issue. So just some of the main things to consider when your recall is failing, if you've got some recall issues already. First of all, you do need to look at your dog and their breed traits. What have they been bred to do? Have you got a sight hound? Have you got a little hunter? Are they really good at smelling things? So that does need to be taken into account. It does not mean that your teaching your recall is going to be any harder in the slightest. It just means that you do need to be aware of what your dog was innately bred to do. It will help you with your training then. Also, we've got plenty of dogs coming up to their teens at the moment. When our dogs go through adolescence, rather than sort of being all worried about the world and needing their mums and dads nearby, they suddenly say, no, it's all right. I'd much rather be with my mates. They'll have a nice little sort of period where they feel that they can take on the world and they want to explore everything. So, yeah, it could just be hormones and that gradually it's going to settle back down again. And of course, maybe you've got an older dog. This doesn't apply to puppies. This can apply to a dog's learning history. So if your dog's always been able to do X, Y, and Z, if they've learned and been rewarded for this, whether you've inadvertently rewarded them or whether they're getting some self-reward out of running off and doing things, which is more often than not the thing. If they've got that learning history, it just means that we need to make a new behaviour much more interesting than what they've previously learned. And above all, what you can always think of is what is in it for dog. This is one of my favourite little things when thinking about why is a dog doing what they're doing. What is in it for them? Because if there's something in it for them, they're going to do it. Or that is as simple as that. If they're going to get rewarded, they're going to do it. They could be getting rewarded by food from you or somebody else. They could be finding it. Maybe somebody's got more interesting food than you have. Maybe that somebody's got some liver cake and you've only got boring bits of kibble. Are they thinking, well, hang on a minute, I don't want to come back because that means my lead's going to go on and the walk is over and we're going to go home. Do I want to come back? Maybe when they come back, there's not enough hugs. You could always give them hugs if your dog isn't too fussed about food. There's lots of different ways to reward your dog. Maybe you can reward them by actually sending them away again with their favourite toy. If you're always taking things off of them, always saying, right, that's the end of the walk, we're off. They may not want to come back because they're not done playing yet. So let's start getting to look at how we can begin to resolve this issue. Now, anybody that may have been on my webinar earlier on in the week for loose lead walking, There's a couple of exercises in here that still apply to recall, but what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to recap how to teach these specifically, because you can catch those on how to teach those on the other webinars, but they are still extremely useful for recall. So consistency is key. No matter what, whoever's involved with your dog needs to train everything the same way. Any differences, it will take longer, or it could even be impossible to teach a new behavior if you are not being consistent. Nothing ever worth having comes easy. So it's okay if you've got a nice puppy with a little blank slate, but if you've got a five-year-old rescue dog that's done nothing but running off, it's going to be a little bit harder. But working hard at it will make it completely worthwhile. So these are the my first two foundation exercises that really are vital, and these were covered the other day in the loose lead walking. So that's the orientation towards you. So when we're teaching the orientation towards you, it's teaching our dogs to look at us a little bit more, and knowing that when they do look at us, it's more valuable. So when that comes to your recall, it's what I then term, because they're not just directly in front of us looking at us like the orientation towards you, these are what I call my head checks. So your dog may be 10, 20, 30 meters away doing their own thing, but intermittently they're just going to turn back and check where you are, that you are still there and you do not need them for anything. So the orientation towards you is going to be really helpful for that recall when they are at a further distance away from you. Hand touch, again, covered in the loose lead walking. This is about building value around you. Of course, if your dog's coming up to you, to your wonderful little magic hands, we've got an easy way of capturing them if need be. But also, the more we build in this hand touch, what we can actually do is use this with our recall. If your dog, again, is a long distance away playing with their friends and you call them with your voice or a whistle, if you wave this hand in the air and you've built enough value in it, your dog's going to see that as a visual recall and say, hey, sorry, guys, I've got to go. There's that magic hand. And that means way more to me than you do right now. So bye. And doing this little hand touch so you've got your visual recall can be really, really, really useful, especially when it's blowing a hoolie outside and your voice or whistle is maybe just not quite carrying through the wind as well as you would like it to. And of course, if you've already got that orientation and that head check, if they're checking in and they see that hand, you can also get a recall without even using a verbal. So that can be two really relevant aspects to teach: getting your dog to look at you and then seeing you for a visual recall. So on to my top three tips that you can get started now. Well, I mean, you can obviously, you can start the orientation and the hand touch now, but do go and recap on my other video on how to teach those via my YouTube channel. And if you can't find it too easy, it's under the live playlist. So first of all, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. So there's lots of things that you can do before you go out for your walk. So you're getting your dog ready to go off to your walk. But what you need to do is, if you can learn what your dog likes the most and what distracts your dog the most, forewarned is forearmed. So if you know that today you are going to go for a walk at a certain place, you know, hopefully you're going to be able to tell what an environment, how exciting an environment is to your dog. And of course, this is going to be individual to each dog, depending on all sorts of things their entire life, but every environment is different to every dog. So what I want you to start thinking about is my little traffic light system. So again, those of you that train with me a lot know that I like things in threes. So I've got my little traffic lights, my green, amber and red, three little environments, or three scenarios where you could pop each environment in. So for instance, indoors, I tend to call that a pretty green environment. It's pretty easy. There's not too many distractions. But there might be a ball in the environment. There could be a beach. What if there's a garden? Yeah, the garden's pretty normal. There's all these different sort of things that come into environments that can make them harder or easier. And depending on your dog will depend on where the environment falls into. So for instance, gardens, relatively green. But if you put a cat in that garden, would that garden still be green? You're probably moving more towards an amber territory then. So it's all intermingling, but recognizing how enticing an environment's going to be for your dog will mean that you can plan ahead for how you can get your best recall. This is where you need to know what your dog likes. And again, sticking it into little sections of green, amber, and red. What does your dog like? Every dog is different. It does not always need to be about food. Okay, more often than not, it's brilliant to have some different options. It's not always food-based. So your dog might like some carrot. They might like hot dog more. They might like roast beef even more. Okay, there's biscuit, there's all sorts of food. There's dog pate, there's kibble, there's sprats, all sorts. But your dog's going to have a personal preference for all of these. For instance, my dog Beans, if I was to give him cheese and sprat, he hates cheese and sprat. So that should not even be on my list anywhere. Because if I'm giving my dog something that they don't like, they've not been rewarded. And therefore, if they've not been rewarded, they are not going to continue the behavior again. So you need to make sure that what you're offering your dog, they do actually want. So again, anything that your dog likes, it does not need to be food. Does your dog like verbal praise? You know, what a good puppy. You're so good. Mummy loves you. Maybe your dog likes life rewards. Maybe your dog just loves sniffing. Can you reward your dog with saying, okay, then off you go. Go sniff. Does your dog love a hug? Do they like to have a play with a tug toy? Do they love a ball or a squeaky toy? Anything your dog likes can be gauged into a green, amber, or red scenario. Then all you need to do is put the right reward with the right environment. So if you've got a nice green environment, you don't need to use that high level reward. If you've got that red level environment where you're absolutely over the top excited, you need to pull out all the stops. Maybe you need to go with roast beef, a squeaky toy, and a tug toy. That's what you need to do. You need to make sure you pair together the right reward with the right environment. If you use boring biscuit in a high arousal environment, you're wasting your time. You've got to make sure that you split it up correctly for your dog. The same as if you turned up to work and you only got paid £1 for going to work, you are less likely to go into work the next day. But if you go and do a really good job and you've got a great boss, and they say that is a brilliant day's work. Here's a £100 bonus. I'm also going to send you out for a dinner with your family when the restaurants reopen, etc. You're going to be more likely to turn up to work the next day because it's been made more worthwhile. Now, what I've got for you can go onto my website. This is a hidden link, so take a note of that website there if you want to. So only anybody that's actually attending anything from me knows about that web page that's on my website. And I'm occasionally adding things onto this, just as little free downloads that I think may help some of my students. So on here, I think it's two almost at the bottom, you've got your dog's hierarchy of rewards and your dog's environment level. Now you're welcome to download these if it will help you, and you can start listing things in the right order of where your dog maybe finds something. Where you would put cheese, where you would put kibble. Some dogs love kibble, and kibble's just absolutely, their little blue E-numbered smarty, and they want the kibble, and that could be in red. It, like I say, it's very doggy determined. But if you start creating these little lists, you're going to be more successful before you even step out the door. So yeah, that's www.pause-itivity.co.uk/downloads, and you can just go on down on there and download any of those that you think may be of use to you. My little freebie for you today. Now, this one has got a video for you. This is definitely going to be one that you may struggle to play with indoors. It's great if you have got a little space. You don't need a huge amount of space to play this one, but I certainly don't want you knocking any shins or breaking any vases or anything like that. It's a really good fun game to play. So what you're going to start off with this one is handfuls and pocketfuls of treats. You need lots to get going. And just tiny little pieces, it doesn't need to be a lot. And what you're going to do, you're just going to drop a little pile somewhere to keep your dog entertained while you just move off to another location. Whether you're stepping away or running away, it's entirely up to you. And what you're going to do is you're going to start counting out treats onto the floor until your dog comes up to investigate what you're doing. And what I'd like you to do is, as you are counting out, you're going to count out very specifically with arm movements so your dog can see that as well. You're literally going to have arm up and down, counting 1, 2, 3, 4. And when you start playing this game, you're likely to possibly get up into double digits, which you will see in this video. And as your dog starts to get the idea of the game, well, you'll start to see the numbers start to reduce, and that's what we're aiming for. Now, do start teaching this in a quiet environment, you know, if the garden, if you can. I started right outside where there was a lot going on, but you'll be able to see how the mechanics of this game works. The main thing is you do not move off from your little counted pile until your dog is there nibbling the pile of treats that you've just counted out. Right, let's start this little video for you. Hopefully you're going to be able to hear me counting, but it won't be the end of the world if you can't. Okay, hopefully that gives you a really good idea of what it's like to do that game. And you could see just towards the end, Alan started to get the idea of it, and that was it. Then he was well away and he started to speed up getting to me. So what will happen, the same as you will start off counting maybe into double digits, but your dog will soon start to get the idea and start to come to you even quicker. So again, the reason I say to really overemphasize your arm movements, again, it's just another way to get your dog's attention, because not only are you counting, but you've also got that visual movement for them as well as to what is going on. So it's just two ways then to get your dog's attention, by visual and with their audible. So my second one, those of you may have seen me use this on my live, maybe a week ago. I can't quite remember when I posted it, when I was up in the woods. So your positive interrupter. This is your absolute cue, your word, your excited noise that is going to mean to your dog, party this way. Off we go. Don't stop. Get this way now. Okay, so for me, if you really want my attention, you say Jaffa Cakes or Gary Barlow. If you say Gary Barlow with Jaffa Cakes, that's it. You're getting close. That's what we want for the positive interrupter. You've really got me then. So that positive interrupter, you gradually build that up by training at home. It can be any sort of noise, cue, or anything you want, but it needs to be excitable. There's no, we don't want to just be come. That is boring. You've got to do something that is exciting. Now, I know the gentleman can't get necessarily as high as I might with my cue, but there's something that you can do, gents, as well, so long as it's exciting for your dogs. I've heard lots of different positive interrupter cues over my time. So I personally use pup, 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 pup. Other people I've heard say, yippee, 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 or this way, this way, or tup, 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 tup. I hear lots of strange things. But if it comes to you naturally, that's what I'm looking for, because it's something that I want you to be able to get out quickly and naturally for you. So none of the where you're clicking tongues, that's no good. This has got to carry and reach through. Okay, if you just say for me, that's not going to do it. I need something that means we're there, we're going. That's the call for me. So I'm going to play you the video of me just doing this little live positive interrupter. The video quality is terrible, I'm afraid, because it was a live video up in the woods and there's not much signal. But you get the idea of it, that as soon as my dog spots something and they're off, I can use my positive interrupter to ultimately, it's interrupting their chain of thought. Whatever it was that they're thinking of running off and doing, they belt off to go and do it, and they come back with a positive interrupter. So that could be the same as, you know, if your dog sees their friends, a squirrel, a deer, anything like that, you can stop their chain of thought and get them back to you with your positive interrupter. So let's have a quick look at this video for you.
There's been a lot of posts recently about having your dogs under control and everything like that on a walk, and they shouldn't be running up to people barking, they shouldn't be doing this, shouldn't be doing that, blah, blah, blah. And one of the things that I will discuss in my training, or some of you would have already seen it anyway, but what one of the things I do want to teach you, which can be just absolutely invaluable, is your positive interrupter. So that's what I'd like to call my just in case of emergency party word. And what I do, I've got one that I've trained all my dogs to hopefully respond to, and this is where it obviously goes completely wrong. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and use that positive interrupter now, live, when they all go away. I need them to go away, of course, because it's all very, oh, here we go, look, they've heard it. Yay! Good puppers! Very nice, you're so clever. So that lovely little, they just suddenly, like, they've heard some voices, and that, of course, they want to go and explore because dogs are social. They want to go and say hello to people, but you might not want them to go say hello, especially you see the state of these. We don't want them climbing up anybody. So one of the best things that you can teach your dogs is this positive interrupter. So you've got your get out of jail free card, for if they suddenly decide, hang on a minute, I like the sound of that, I'm going to go and see it, which is what obviously my lot were about to go and do.
Okay, so positive interrupter. How you get started with teaching this, this is one that we can definitely do at home straight away. Much the same as teaching anything to begin with, what we're just going to do is we need to condition our dog to that noise. And it's, when I mean condition, we're just going to pair it together so that when your dog hears your magic party word and your party phrase, they know that there's something worthwhile. So when you're at home, you can do this with toys, you can do this with love, you can do it with cookies. I would recommend doing it with a mix of everything that your dog likes. Go bonkers. This is their absolute party word, so you need it to be really, really valuable. One bit of kibble is not going to do it. We need them to think, oh my gosh, there's that word. What am I going to get this time? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? Is it going to be this and that? Oh my gosh, I can't wait to find out. That's what it's going to be. So you're just going to start off with your dog next to you. You can use their food, their daily food ration, or anything. And once you've come up with your magic party word, All you need to do is say it. So for instance, in my case, I've got my pup, pup, pup. So I go pup, 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 and I just drop some treats. I say, you're so clever. I rough them up a little bit. I might then drop a tennis ball and have a little bit of a party. And I try to have a little bit of a party with them for sort of 5 or 10 seconds, just to really make it worthwhile for them. And then I just repeat that. So I go, pop, 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 pop. And then I go nuts again for another 5 or 10 seconds, giving them a mix of everything, cookies, love, play, tug, just bonkers, silly little playing. And I just keep repeating this indoors. And it doesn't take long because they soon learn that, oh my gosh, that's a sound I need to listen to. So obviously it's just a case of starting to practice that behavior in different environments. So I'd recommend obviously starting in the garden before you take it outside. You can also then, if your dog is in the garden and you're indoors, why not use your pop, 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 if you're indoors and see if they come in from the garden. Maybe they're upstairs and you're downstairs or vice versa. Use your pop, 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 and see if they come running to you. Because you know that if your dog is outside in the garden and you're indoors, if that pop, 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 pop doesn't work at home, it's not going to work outside. So that's going to be a really good example for you of your dog's learning. If you know that they're busy snuffling around the garden, doing it, whatever it is your dog loves doing out there, if they're not going to recall in from the garden to the house, you know it's not going to work outside on a walk yet. So that's how you can start to measure how well it's working. And as soon as you've got that, you can start taking that outside to use it as well. And this is just a little added extra for you, because I did just have to go over my three that I like to do for you all. This is just my favorite game. And if you ever think, I'm up the woods and there's a weirdo in a bush, it's probably me, because I just absolutely love playing hide and seek with my dogs. I think it's one of the best ways, one, for them not to take for granted that I'm always going to be just plodding along behind them. And every opportunity I get, when they all just suddenly decide they're going to go for a bit of a mooch in one direction, I become a little bit more random. I'll take a side path, I'll hide behind a tree or a bush. I really go to town on it. If there's a suitable tree, I might even climb it a little bit, because the harder it is for them to find me, the happier they are to see me when they do find me. But it really does help if they don't think, it's all right, I'm going to run off because mum will be on this same path when I get back. Now, I never go too far, just in case they do get worried. And I do keep an eye on them when they're looking for me, just in case they start to panic and I can make a little noise so they can find me. I'm not completely mean, but I do love it as a game. I even do it at home. They might be in the garden and I will just go and hide somewhere. I love it. I think it's one of the most fun things you can do with your dog. And when they find you, they're so happy that they found you. So if you're ever having a blue day, definitely, definitely play some hide and seek, because when that licky face gets you and they're so proud that they found you, that is definitely, definitely worth celebrating. Right. And again, I've mentioned many times before the three D's. So I won't go on about them too much, because, again, that's in plenty of my training. But you can always ask more questions on them. And the three D's are all about improving your behaviours. So you can always make your behaviours harder and proof them, make them sure that they're even more strong by increasing the distance, the distraction, or the duration that your dog is coming up against. But of course, you can always lower those D's as well. If your dog is struggling in a certain environment or anything like that, it's a very much keep it nice and balanced, because we want your dog to succeed. So if there's something that's too hard, set them up to fail by lowering a D in some way. You want to strive for progress, not perfection. Okay, do not expect to have the most amazing recall in a week. This does take time. And of course, if your dog is still able to practice the behavior of running off and doing what it is they love doing, it's going to take even longer and make it even harder, because they're getting to randomly go and play with their friends. It will make it much more harder. They're like, no, I don't need to listen to mum. She doesn't mean it this time. So little bits of progress and you'll get a much bigger picture. I thought I'd quickly touch on some equipment actually that you can use for loosely walking for your recall. So of course there's always a harness and a long line. Now never ever ever attach a long line to a collar. If that gets caught or you step on it or anything like that to stop your dog running off, you do not want a long line attached around their neck. That is asking for an injury. So always use a suitable harness when using a long line. I don't recommend using a long line that's any more than 2 or 3 meters. It can become too cumbersome to hold and handle. So unless you're well versed in maybe lunging horses or anything like that and using a long line, do not use one that is too long. If you've got anything certainly more than 5 meters, you're going to struggle. So I would stick to around 2 or 3 meters. You can use a whistle. You can train in a whistle cue as well that can just always help. Obviously, whistles carry further distance than our voices do. But great thing about whistle is it doesn't have emotion. So that whistle doesn't say, "You get here, you little," because they've run off. The whistle doesn't say that. The whistle doesn't have a tone like that. The whistle doesn't have that's an angry mummy voice. Okay, so whistles can be really, really useful. And also you do, as I've mentioned before, because it's very important, you need to make sure you've got the right reward for the right situation. You need to have something good. Boring biscuits, if your dog doesn't, not isn't too fussed about boring biscuits, are not going to cut it. So a very little recap for you all. Don't run before you can walk. Little steps. Practice at home. Practice in quiet fields, secure fields. Practice where you know you're safe to do so. If you do have too much failure, you do need to go back a step. It's not fair on your dog if they don't understand. The more time you put in with these foundation behaviours, the stronger your recall will be. So again, just time and time again, practice these little foundations at home. Maybe when you're just walking around the street, you can do a hand touch and that orientation, reward it. And again, that reward can be a smile, a good pup, cookie, anything like that. Anything your dog wants is a reward. If you cannot rely on your dog's recall, they should not be off the lead. It really is as simple as that. You don't want your dog getting into any mischief. You don't want your dog running up to somebody else. There are some horrible people out there that if your dog runs up to them, they will just kick them or whack them. And if you don't want that, then you need to have your dog at least on a harness and a long line. The retractable leads, no, I'd ban them if I could. So please do stay away from those. They are no use really to anybody. Long lines, yes. Extendables, no. I've seen more injuries with those extendable leads than you can imagine. So stay away from those. They nasty. Practice with those suitable distractions. Okay, so that you don't just say, "Oh, I'm just going to go and practice my hand touch now in the middle of a busy beach." Okay, it won't be too busy at the moment, but you get the idea of things. If you're worried about your dog putting on any weight or anything like that, they're susceptible to doing so, use their daily food allowance. Okay, if you use their daily food for training opportunities, your dog will actually enjoy eating a lot more. It's much more interesting for their food to come in different ways rather than a food bowl. And I would ban the food bowl as well if I could. So they're my things, getting rid of food bowls and getting rid of extendable leads. And the main thing is if you are not having fun playing recall, you're not doing it right. Recall is not something that it should be a very strict thing. It should always be fun. It should be something that your dog just wants to do all the time, because they mean, yeah, brilliant, game on. We're going to go and do something with mum or dad. It's got to be fun. There should be no angry voices. If your dog's come back after 15 minutes and you're in the woods and you're crying, then under your breath, you're going, "Oh, finger, come here." Yeah, you can say all that under your breath, but do not say it to them. Do not let them know that you are upset with them, because if they sense that, they're going to be less inclined to come back another time. So what you can do next, practice those. You've got the foundations, so I'm not including those in the three exercises. So the three exercises is just over a coffee. Think about your green, amber and red situations, the environments, what your dog likes, food, toys, playing. That's what I want you to do. So you've got that. You've got the counting game and you've got your positive interrupter. So checking out your green, orange and red. You're going to do your counting game and your positive interrupter. And we can have a look at the counting game and positive interrupter in the Q&A for anybody that wants to do it. Just again, the counting game, we need to be careful if you've got any tables, chairs and things around. Remember your 3 Ds. Keep them in mind. It's very important. And setting up for success. I know I keep mentioning it, but it is vital. If your dog fails and they get to practice a behaviour you don't want, that behaviour will continue. It's as simple as that. And then just a very quick recap. If you did miss my loose lead walking webinar, you can catch that on YouTube by just going to my YouTube channel, the Pause Group, and you can check that under the live. I am doing a follow on for the loose lead walking. I'm only doing a follow on for the loose lead walking at the moment. There's only so much time in a day I've got. So there are only limited spaces available on that, and the introductory price does increase next week. So it will be a quick recap of the first session for anybody that did miss it. Depending on which package you go for, there's going to be an advice and support throughout. I'm not one of these people that just say, oh yeah, brilliant, here's what you do, give me some money and leave you. Those of you that have trained with me before know that I am not like that, and I am here to support you the whole way through. You'll have more exercises to work on, I will help you with troubleshooting, and there will be follow-up support as well. So depending on what package you fancy, that's available to you, so long as those spaces are still there. And that will be Sunday, the 7th of February at 3 p.m. Chances are I'm probably going to add in some more to that as well, just because there's so much information I want to give you all. So there's going to be a bit more from that as well. So you can join in on those. You can book via my website. You've got the personalised option. That's currently got 50% off of it at the moment. So that's joining in with the live webinar. You've got the Q&A during the webinar, some follow-up calls, the follow-up support, and even a free ebook. You've got the attendee, which is where you can join in with your dog and you can ask some questions during the webinar, but that will be it. And then you can just, if you just think, no, do you know what? I don't want to join in with my dog just yet. I just want to kind of watch and see what that's all about with the extra information you're giving me. So that's how you can join in for the loose lead walking. Just in case I haven't trained with any of you before, 5-star reviews, review trainer, you can go and catch my reviews on Trustpilot. So just a little thank you for attending today. We're going to get on to the Q&A next. If you do want to get in touch, there are a variety of ways there that you can do. Lots of ways for you to ask me any questions afterwards if you suddenly have a burning question. Right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop sharing my screen and we're going to go across the Q&A. So if anybody wants to have a go at any of those exercises, go and get some cookies, go and get your dog, and we'll get started there. So I shall see you over there in a second. Fabulous. Right, I'm just starting my video again. Okay, I'll keep you all muted for the time being. If you want to come off speaker, if I haven't answered any questions, then by all means, we can do that in a second. So I'm just going to go through the chat screen now. Right, on the hand touch, how long should the touch be? Mike, that's entirely up to you. You can do just a quick hand touch of a second, or you can start to increase the duration, and have it for longer. What's really great with a hand touch when you're using it as a recall is if you can get a bit more duration. Let me get Dilly. So what you can do is I need to stand up to get the right angle. If Dilly's coming into you and you've got hand touch and they're coming to touch your hand, in case of emergency, if you've trained a bit of duration, what you can do is, imagine Dilly's got a collar on, is in case of emergency, I can slip my fingers under Dilly's collar so that I know Dilly can't just escape again. So for any reason like that. So a hand touch is another really good one for doing the recall in case of emergency situation. Now, I don't practice the collar grab a lot on my dogs because I don't want them to be wary of it. But as they're coming in and they touch my hand, if I practice it just rarely, I know they're not going to be worried by the sudden grabbing of the collar in a frantic emergency situation. So that does really, really help. And I have actually used it once. When I needed my dogs to come back and I needed to grab them because there was another dog that was around that I just really was not happy about, and I wanted to head off in another direction. I thought, no, we're going now. So that's what I would do. But yeah, you can, it's entirely up to you. It can just be a boop or it can be a boop, 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 boop. You can just get multiple ones. I've actually got a selection with my dogs. Alan is the only one that does a duration on his hand touch. The others have got multiple because I think that's just a little bit more engaging for some of my dogs. They just prefer the bang, 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 bang. What have we got next? So Mike, Poppy is not as good coming to me either in the house to or from the garden, better outside on a walk. Typical Poppy, typical Poppy. So what's in the garden that's more exciting? Do you have foxes, anything like, yeah, foxes and rats or something, you know, disgusting that maybe. So you can certainly start to build up on that, most definitely. At least we know in the garden she's safe. That's one thing, at least she's not running off around the woods. But if you want her to come in from the garden a lot more quickly than she currently does on walks, you can definitely start to fix it. And even if it does mean that you're going out there with a harness and long line, just to say, hang on a minute, no, I've got something here. And if you go outside, because actually I know the layout of your house, if you just go out when it's not so horrible and you just sit on your patio or something, and you could just sit there with a coffee and a book, even if you were to just sit there doing hand touch paw or some tricks and treats around that back door, so that there's more value in that particular area of coming in, that particular area will build up with more value rather than at the far end or wherever it is the foxes and things like that are. So it's about building the value closer to the home and then indoors. So if you're playing on the mat, outdoors and indoors, the house should be like, oh, okay, no, that's much more worth it for me now. So we can start to work on that. That won't be a problem. We can sort that for you. Does that make sense, Ali? Perfect, perfect. Right, Mike, do they have to eat all the treats or can they leave them? Is that on the counting game, Mike? Give me a thumbs up. Yeah. No. In fact, to be honest, I'm really happy if they leave the treats because it means they're more interested in what it is I'm doing. So if I've got piles of treats left, I'm happy. That's kind of what I'm aiming for. Because if they can leave treats on the floor, it means they can leave horse poo on the floor, a dead bit of something or anything like that. So if I know that they're more interested in doing and getting to me and not eating the treats, I'm happy with that. And in that video with Alan, I was actually using my the doggy pate. So I know that's a really, really high value treat for him. And I wasn't even in the living room. There were other dogs and my friend there. This was videoed over the earlier months when we weren't in lockdown, just to clarify that. I'm not being naughty. So if my dogs leave that pile of treats that I've just counted out, I'm really happy because that means that they've got way more interested. They're way more interested in what I'm doing. So that's fine. And if I know where that pile of treats is, I might just head back to it because then I know that I've got more to keep them busy there for the next time. And will they run off again? So no, I'm more than happy. Right. Next. Does that make sense, Mike? Thumbs up. Yep. Good. Right. Last one, work to treat is up here. Can you do it with dinner? Yes, Liz, you can use their dinner. I generally, my dogs, if I'm doing a training session with my dogs, I will always use their meals, or encompass it in some way. Because dogs, when we give our dogs our food, their food in a bowl, when you think about it, they're natural scavengers. So if we just give them all this food in a bowl and they've scoffed it, then actually their brain's kicked in to say, I've got to hunt out more food. So it's actually better for them if we just give them a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. So whether that's doing hand touch, paw, sit, hand touch, paw, sit, or it could just be that, hang on a minute, well, I'm going to put you in the garden. And then I'm going to call you in and I'm going to go feed, feed, feed. And then maybe I might throw a cookie somewhere else on my reset button. So the reset button, if nobody's heard me mention that one, that will be covered in. I put it somewhere. I put it in one of my webinar thingies somewhere. So that will come up. And it keeps, I've got loads of chats coming in. So hang on a minute. So yeah, you can do it with your dinner or any of their food. That's absolutely fine. Presumably, Liz, that was about the. So you've always used a retractable, always used a retractable lead since she was a puppy. Are they bad for older dogs too? So when it comes to retractable leads, if you want loose lead walking, don't use a retractable lead. One, because unless you've got the latch on it, uh, the, the, the lock, that retractableness of it is always going to keep a certain amount of pressure on your dog. And anybody that attended the loose lead walking webinar would have heard about the brain fart, opposition reflex. So if there's always that little bit of pressure, sort of pushing you somewhere, you're going to be pushing against it just to make sure you're not just being dragged along. So retractable leads are bad for that reason. They're also, your dog does not understand to a certain extent, unless they've hurt themselves a lot, how long they are. So they can easily just run off. And if you're on a collar, which don't ever put them on a collar, they can run, whiplash. If they run off and we've forgotten to put the lock on or anything like that, we are a human at the end of the day and we reach and grab that line. Tape or line, we grab it. You can go and Google the injuries yourself if you want, but that's up to you. I've seen locally in Horsham, one of the roads on Horsham, King's Road. So anybody knows King's Road? I saw a little dog being walked down there one day on an extendable lead. And the dog went round one side of a big green bin and the owner went round the other side. The lead got caught. The dog tried to run. Bin, road, wasn't good. The dog, thankfully, was okay. However, it could have gone a very different way. We're not quick enough to respond in that sort of way. It's too late. There's too many injuries and deaths with those leads. So their own, I just don't recommend them at all. You can always use a fabric long line instead, and it only needs to be 2 meters long. If your dog's on a retractable lead for because they need some exercise after an operation or anything like that, you can still use your long line. So yeah, retractable leads are horrible, and they're so cumbersome as well. Some of those things, they're huge. You can't hold on to those. They can easily slip out your hand when they're wet. So yeah, horrible. Right. So Lucky, we've had lots of advice from friends that have said because Lucky is young, he should be off lead straight away. Not sure what best to do. So chances are Lucky will want to stay with you because they're young and your mum, they've got that little fear factor. I can't leave my mum. But also what you don't know is how Lucky might react to a big bang or a dog going rah at them or anything like that. And of course, when you've got that situation, what's your dog's natural response? Fight or flight? Could your puppy leg it? Could they disappear? Are they going to come back? So you need to do it do it around the right dogs, really. My puppy Alan, or when he was a puppy, I was at Roost Hole. And again, this comes up on the Facebook groups and everything all the time. And I was up there and there were two horses coming along and I've got five dogs, or I had five dogs with me at the time. And I said to the riders, oh, can you just wait 2 seconds? I'll get the puppy on the lead. The horse riders would not listen and they just continued cantering at me. And I was going, stop. No. So poor old Alan legged it, even though he's got his four friends with him that are just like, I don't care about horses. I'm not fussed. So Alan did come back. But, you know, it was 2 minutes of my life that I was just, where's my puppy gone? So, yes, but you need to do it in the right situation, the right location and with the right dogs. So, yeah, do get them off lead. But it's not essential. If you're happiest, do what you're happiest with. So if you're worried, harness and a long line. But always be wary of where you're doing it. Always be wary if you're doing it, you know, no roads and no chances of any horses coming cantering up and not stopping or anything. So just be mindful of that and you should be absolutely fine. But if you're concerned, you can always hire a secure field to go and practice your recall, you know, to build this in your pup. I thoroughly recommend Flying Paws in Warnham. Lovely, nice and secure, a great size. And that you've got some natural distractions around if the ponies are out or the quad bikes and things like that. So that's, you know, that's really, really good one to go to. But otherwise, just stay safe. And no matter what anybody says, even what I'm saying, if that doesn't suit you or you're not comfortable with it, don't do it. You if they're your dog, you wouldn't let anybody tell you how to bring up your child or what you were having for dinner or anything like that. At the end of the day, Every different trainer's got different opinions and how they do things. So you don't have to listen to what everybody says. You do what's right for you and your dog at the end of the day. Next, for the hide and seek game, do you reward with a treat? I reward with treats. I reward with love. I reward with, if I've got a squeaky ball on me, I go nuts because they found me. More often than not, it is just hugs because I'm hiding in a bush and I can't necessarily get to something. But yeah, I reward with absolutely anything that I can. And I've got to hand and I go silly. But more often than not, especially when I'm at home, that is just hugs, mainly because I'm being mugged from under a blanket or something like that. But yeah, reward with everything you've got. I meant when I bring the bowl of food and use. Yes, absolutely. But what I would do is I would split the. So, Liz, when you bring the bowl of food, what I would do is I would do it not one big food, well, not one big feed. I'd go and feed a bit. And then I go and feed a bit and feed a bit. And then maybe walk across the kitchen and do the same, or utility room or wherever it is you're feeding your dog. So it's not just in one great big splurge. I want it to be lots of little amazing things, not one great big. Fabulous. Well, I think that's all the questions so far on the chat. Does anybody have their dog there that would like to go through either the counting game or the positive interrupter? If you do, pop it in the chat. And I can always, I've got this way of doing a breakout room. I've not tried it before, but I can always pop people in there if they want to, or anything like that. So if you do want to have a play, it might be that some people would like to watch others having a go. I'm not too sure if we're able to do that because I don't know if you can just see me or you can see everybody else. I'm not too sure. Brilliant. That's great to hear with Lucky. Fabulous. Well done. Keep it up. How we got? We've got a few of you in here. Can't see any comments that anybody wants to have a go at it, so I'll just leave it. What I'm going to do is I will, just for the sake of it, I'm going to put a request to unmute yourselves. If you wish to unmute yourselves and ask any questions or anything like that or do anything, you're welcome to, but if it gets a bit too feedbacky and things like that, then I'll mute you all again. So I don't know, imagine you've got a talking stick or something like that. So there we go. And I'm just going to lock the meeting room as well so that nobody can come back in. Oh, Mike's got his baby. Hello, Tucker.
Oh. He's sleepy.
Wow. Yeah. It's Reggie! 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 Reggie the dude. Fabulous. So I know that Lucky's been having a go. Have you tried any of that with Reggie just while you've been sitting there, Charlotte?
Not really, not, but we, yeah, we'd like to give it a go if we can.
Yeah, apparently, yeah, well, we'll give it a go. Anybody's there that wants to give it a go, what we'll do is we'll try with the positive interrupter. And then if anybody wants to do the counting game, we can do that. What I will do, those of you that do want to do the positive interrupter, we'll just do it one at a time for obvious reasons, because otherwise there is going to be a cacophony of screaming coming out of everybody's laptops and iPads and everything. And the poor puppies won't know where to look. So, Charlotte, I'll ask you to have a go first if you'd like. So, yeah, you've got Reggie over there. By all means, if you want, go and sit on your sofa or something like that so that we can see Reggie when he comes up, because he's so teeny weeny. Even though he's got so big since I first met him.
I know, he's growing.
Yeah. And have you got some cookies, or are you going to use some love and hugs?
Yeah.
Lovely. So do you think you know what word you might like to use for this?
I don't know. What do you think? I think we might do the pup, pup, pup.
The pup, pup, pup. Yeah. You can always change it. If you suddenly think later this afternoon, you think, oh, do you know what? Actually, that's better for me. You can just change it. It's not a problem. So, yeah, just want you to go, and then give them some food.
She's like that.
That's it. And then give them another piece. And another piece, just so he really knows that that was so worthwhile. That's it. And then let's do that again. I'll get you to do it 3 times in total.
Oh,
is it good? He says, yeah, that was good. Do you want to try that again? Have you got any more cookies?
Let's get some more.
Oh, I think, Charlotte, you're frozen. I don't know if you're still there. Have we lost Charlotte? We may have lost Charlotte. Does anybody... Oh, there she is. Are you back?
Sorry. Yeah, we froze.
You're back. You're back. Okie dokie. Then, so this time I want you to stand up and do it.
Okay.
Yep. Just changing it slightly.
Pop, 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 pop.
That's it. Good. Good. That's it. Good. Tell him he's a good boy. Clever puppy. Good. Now what we're going to try and do is we're going to give Dad a cookie to get Reggie. And then you're going to try calling him with your pop, 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 pop.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that make sense? So we've got Dad distracting him a little bit. That's it. And try your pop, pop, pop.
Good boy.
Yay. Go nuts. Have a little puggy party.
Good boy!
Yes, super! So, of course, what we're going to do, so Hubby, you have a cookie this time, but don't give it to Reggie. And then Charlotte, you have all the cookies. So Reggie's not going to get your cookie from Hubby. You've just got it there as a nice distraction. That's a nice bit of horse poo on the floor. You can show it to him. That's Reg. It.
Reggie.
He's like, no, I don't want you anymore, Dad. There we go. That's it. That's all right. Yeah, you're fine. Carry on.
Well,
continue it on a little bit longer. Yeah, go. Make it just go on a little bit longer. So add a couple of your pop 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 pops together, just so it's a little bit more enticing, rather just pop pop pop. Go pop 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 pop. Yeah, good, clever puppy. Well done. Have a good old play with that, and just by having one of you holding a cookie or anything like that, or having anything else there that you know he might like, you can call him off of it. Okay, fabulous. Right. So, does anybody else want to have a go at the positive interrupter?
Can do.
Yeah, do you want to have a go, Mike?
We're gonna have to put this somewhere else, though.
So, yeah, just so I can see what you're up to.
Hang on. Let's turn that around.
There we go. Hi, Tucker.
Hi, Tucker.
Right, we've got some treats.
Fabulous. So just while you're there, you're going to come up with your little positive interrupt word, and you're going to go, pop, 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 and then just give him a number of treats.
Do I need to send him away first?
No, not at the moment. Not at the moment.
Pop, pop, pop. Come on, pop, pop.
Good. And then again, pop, 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 pop,
pop. Pop, pop, pop. Pop, pop, pop. Yeah. Good boy. Good boy.
And then what you could do this time is you can throw a cookie across the floor.
Oh. Pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, good boy.
He went to see Lexi.
Yeah, oh, that's all right. Throw a cookie across the floor so he goes off to get it. And then as he's doing that, you can pop, do your pop, 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 pop,
pop.
Yeah, good boy. And then you can throw a cookie out again and keep repeating like that. That's it. Have a play. Throw his toy. He says, oh, yeah, give me my giraffe, Dad.
It's too silly, yeah.
Well done. Perfect. Yeah, you can play with your pup, pup, pup. You can treat. You can go nuts. That's the whole point of this positive interruption. It has to be Gary Barlow with Jaffa Cakes. There's no point in, oh, it's all right, she's just got a bit of hot dog.
Oh,
this has to be the nuts, as it were. This has got to be the thing. So as you're building value in it, you've always got to make sure that it's not just a cookie. It's got to be more than one cookie. It's got to be two cookies, three cookies. And there's no point in giving your dog a whole handful of treats because they see that whole handful of treats as one big treat. So it's got to be one, two, three, toy, another cookie, toy, squeaker, hug. It's all got to be separate things to make it more worthwhile. One big bowl of food, like Liz with your meals, that's just one thing. So hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully that makes sense. Right. Liz, yes, absolutely. There is a chance of 20 crazy humans up there shouting pop, 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 pop in the woods. So you're quite generally, you've got a good chance that if you hear somebody going pop, 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 it could have been me. Oops, I'm sorry. But at least you know you're all part of the same club. You can each give each other a little pop, pop wink as you go past. You know, maybe it's just show a little secret badge. Would you like that? Shall I get you all a little secret badge, like a little pop, pop, pop badge? You go, yeah, look, in the club. So, yeah, I can sort that out. I'll get some little stickers. Pop, 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 pop. Maybe I'll get it put on clickers or little treat bags for you all, something like that. So does anybody else want to have a go or have any other questions? Otherwise, I'll all let you get on because, again, I've been over an hour and I hoped it would be quicker than that, but... apparently I've got a lot to tell you. And I could just put it all into about 15,000 lots of little ones, but then you just get fed up, quite frankly, going to, oh yeah, here's part one, here's part two, here's part three. And you're just like, yeah, great. So as they get used to it and come back regularly, do you keep giving the treats? Always with the pup, pup, pup. It's always got to have something. It doesn't always have to be treats. It can be anything your dog likes, which is where the green, amber, red lists come in. Anything on that list can be used. If it's not on that list, don't use it. If your dog doesn't like it, it's not a reward. So the same with Beans. If I offer him fish or cheese, if I go to Beans, sit, and he sits, and I offer him fish or cheese, he sniffs it and walks away. I've not rewarded him. That's like you going to work for the day and your boss giving you, I don't know, a carrot for the day or something like that. No money, nothing that's actually going to be of any use to you. They might even give you a used poo bag. You're just like, oh, great, thanks. I'm not going to do that again because there was nothing in it for me. So that's why creating that list of the green, amber, reds of environments and what your dog likes and basically being your dog's guru. If you can geek out on your dog and know exactly what it is that they like, you know what you can use. And that's just vital to any training situation, but especially recall, because you're fighting against the absolute elements of the environment then, and you can't control it. So you don't know what's around. But that party word, that positive interrupter, that always gets rewarded from me in some way or another. So whether that's with food, love, hugs, toys, throwing a ball, anything like that, it always gets rewarded, always, but randomly. It's not always treat, 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 and three treats and it's over, because dogs can predict that. And if they can predict that, they're like, well, no, actually, that's more interesting than those one, two, three treats. So if I keep it random for you, them on what they're going to get, am I going to get food? Am I going to get play? Am I going to get love? I don't know, because I love it all. That's where you can start heading towards. So you're welcome. You're welcome. Fabulous. Glad that makes sense. Super. Otherwise, any other questions? Quickly whiz those in now. Otherwise, I will bid you all a good day. So I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope that was helpful. I hope that's given you some hints and tips for being able to basically get started on your recall. And you do these things and you're going to have a great recall. Fabulous. Glad you liked it. You're welcome.
It was good.
Brilliant. That's what I like to hear. Well, I'm going to leave you all to it then. And don't forget, the loose lead walking's coming up in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks. I have to look at my calendar then. 2 weeks' time, we've got to get on that loose lead walking one. So, yeah. Any questions? Just ask. You know where I am. And I'll speak to you all soon.
Where do we find the other one? Where do we find the other ones you've done?
All on the YouTube channel.
All on your YouTube channel.
All on my YouTube channel. So the pause group.
Lovely.
Yeah, the pause group. If you go onto there, and then I will put once it's available on there, I will share that link into the Facebook group and email it out. So if you're on my mailing list, make sure you're on the mailing list, because that's where I tend to put most of my messages out to everybody, in the priority bookings and things like that, and what's coming up first before I advertise it generally anywhere else. So if you want to go on the mailing list, what I will do is I'll put the link quickly in the chat box, so that if you want to go and join that, you can. And then I'll put the link for the YouTube channel in there as well for you. So that's the mailing list, and that's the my YouTube channel. They're generally where you'll mostly find me. I put some bits on Facebook. I've got the Instagram, the Twitter, and all that, but I can't keep up with all that, quite frankly. So my first and foremost thing is I'm always going to do an email, because I can just type out exactly what I'm saying without having to worry about anything else. Right, you're welcome. You're welcome, Charlotte. And I hope I'm going to see Reggie soon, because he's a dude. He's the best dude.
Yes, definitely. Can't wait to see you too.
Yeah. He's the best little dude, is Reggie. It makes me melt. Actually, I can't remember. Was he here this weekend or last weekend?
Last weekend, yeah.
Last weekend it was. Oh, yeah. So, that's all right. I was like, hang on, there's another voice coming in. Right, well, I'm gonna love you and leave you all then. Hopefully, if you haven't had time to get on that, the links, just drop me an email and I'll send them to you again. That is not a problem. And I will speak to you all later. So I'll take care.
Thanks, Jo.
Bye.
All the best. Have a great day. Bye.
Yeah, you too. Take care, everyone. Bye.
That's all for today. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or want to get in touch, then visit my website, www.pause-activity.co.uk. There's some additional notes in the show details for you if you wish. Take care, and I'll see you soon.